Hola, Limited, this is I and all of you, the lovers of the light of Imamat, that you are joining at what is 7 a.m. in parts of the United States, and I don't know what the times are elsewhere. It is indeed a great blessing of Khudavand Hazrat Imam that he has provided us with this technology so that we can meet across the continents as spiritual brothers and sisters and discuss his divine light and try to understand it to the best of our ability and to share that understanding with other members of our family, friends, Jamaat, etc. So first of all, I pray that may Mola Khudavan, as usual, my prayer is always that Mola should shower his Nurani Ta'id, his Nurani help to the listeners so that they can hear what is being discussed properly. And may his Nur also speak from the tongue, from the lips of this very Khaksa, very indigent Murid of the Imam of the time. So today our topic is about references to the Imam in the Holy Quran. And inshallah, by the time we finish, it is my earnest prayer and hope that we will all begin to realize one of the many, many wisdoms that there are in the fact that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, why he left the book of God, the Holy Quran, and his progeny. The two things we should never separate until they go to the Holy Prophet and the pond of Kausar, as the Ghadir-e Khum hadith informs us. They are always together because the Quran explains imamat, and the imam explains the inner meanings of the Quran. This is one of the many, many wisdoms of these two being together always, throughout, eternally. The book and the teacher, with a capital T, the teacher of the book. So I had given you a homework, and alhamdulillah, we have also been provided with the references in one document. And in category one, I had asked you to look at Surah 2, ayat 124. And also at Surah 9, ayat number 12. Because these are two opposites. So if we take Surah 2, ayat 124, in which Allah says, when Abraham was tried by his Lord with commands. It says commands here, and in Arabic, in the if you look at the Arabic transliteration, it is kalimatin, kalima, kalima. So it's commands, words, and he fulfilled them. Hazrat Ibrahim fulfilled those words or commands, and then Allah pronounced Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. Indeed, I will make you a leader for the entire humankind. It's a very, very amazing statement that God is making Prophet Abraham an imam. And the word imam here is in the singular, for the entire humankind. How? That he was the light which was in him, the divine spirit was which was in him, had been there earlier in the earlier prophets. So he was the imam of the earlier people, he was the imam of the people of his time, and through his progeny he was going to be the imam in the future. So this is one ayat where no translator can change the meaning of the word imam. As you know, we have said that there are 12 ayats, in which the word imam or its plural a'imma are to be found in the Holy Quran. But many times the translators, because of their own beliefs, their own worldview, they translate this word very differently. For instance, if you go to the famous Surah 36, Ayah 12, which we recite in our dua, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسْوَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ, the same word imam has been translated by exoteric translators as book, a scroll, pattern, record. All these other words, but they cannot use any other word except leader here, because this is related to a living personality, that is Hazrat Ibrahim. So this is imam in a very positive sense. An imam, a leader appointed directly by God, by Allah. But if you go to Surah Toba 9:12, which was my second piece of homework, this is the opposite of it. And the words they are, and if they break their oaths after their treaty and defame your religion, then fight the leaders of disbelief. For indeed, there are no oaths which are sacred to them. Fight them, that they might cease. So again, here God is telling us that even disbelievers have a leader or leaders. Here it is in the plural. So there are two types of imams in the world. Ones who are appointed directly by God, they possess the divine spirit and the divine knowledge. And then there are leaders who stand up in opposition by their own evil intentions and actions. And they are the ones who then lead others astray. And God is saying, be very strict with them. Do not allow them to do their discord. Do not allow them to bring disharmony and discord in the community. Be strict with them. Fight them so that they might cease. So here comes a whole question about the word imam in the Quran. We have to look at the context. And then throughout history, we have seen, you know, the word imam is now in the English Oxford Dictionary. And if you look it up, it says simply leader. Imam means leader. But every community has their own interpretation, their own understanding. So if you look at our exoteric Muslims, for them an imam can be a pesh imam, the one who leads the namaz in the mosque, or it can be somebody like Imam Hanbal or Imam Shafi, somebody who is very learned in the Quran and hadith and fiqh and jurisprudence, etc. So they call them imam. In my last lecture, I had mentioned Sayyidina Abdul Karim Shahrastani. So according to the exoteric people, even he is considered Imam Abdul Karim Shahrastani, just like Imam Ghazali, because they are learned. But I had also told you that Sayyidina Abdul Karim Shahrastani, through modern scholarship, has been proved to be a hidden Ismaili, the one who preserved the concept of Ta'lim. But if you come to the Shia community, then you find there are two different interpretations. If you look at the 12 Shias, their interpretation of Imam is that he is there, but he's hidden. Gaiba, he's in occultation, and he will appear on the day of Qiyamah. But if you look at the Shia Imami Ismaili Muslims, their interpretation is that the Imam has to be ever present, ever living, and that he has to be from the direct descent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. So we are all using the word Imam, but they all have a different meaning. So there is the ordinary dictionary meaning, and then there is a technical meaning. So we should be aware of that, And we should be aware that we have to look at the context of the Quran to see how the Quran uses this word. Okay, so now we will go to our second category, which were allegorical references. So we do not want the Jama'at to think that the Imam is only mentioning the word Imam or A'imma. No, he's mentioned in many, many different ways. So what are these allegorical interpretations? For that, I had asked for you to look at Surah Ibrahim. I apologize that I had given half the reference. I should have actually said it is chapter 14, ayah 24 and 25. So if you have that chapter 14 ayah in front of you, this is about Hazrat. This is about, it's in Surah Ibrahim, and it's about the Shajaratin Tayyiba. Shajaratin Tayyiba. And if you have only half the reference, then I suggest that you find the correct reference in your book, and let's look at it together. So Allah says in ayat number 24, Alam tara kayfa zaraballahu masalan kalimatan. You see, the word kalima comes again. Tayyibatin, kalimatan tayyibatin ka shajaratin tayyibatin asluha sabitun wa farruha fi samai. Tuti kullaha kulla bi izni rabbiha wa yazribulla amsala linnas la'allahum yatazakkarun. It's a very beautiful ayah, very beautiful, but also a very, very difficult ayah. And I have looked at because I haven't got the exact English here for Surah 14:24. I've just read out both of them. I'm going to read out the English one. Do you not see how Allah strikes a similitude, a goodly saying as a goodly tree, its root set firm, its branch reaching into heaven? This is the first ayah, 24. Now, if you have that ayat in front of you, some of you, you will see, I've read it out correctly. My translation says root singular, but branches in plural. Because whoever has done this translation, they cannot, their mind cannot cope. Their mind cannot understand how a tree can have one branch. So let's look at this carefully. This is not a physical tree that God is talking about. It is an allegorical tree. It's a parable. It's a similitude. So here, God is talking about a pure tree, a sacred tree. Its root is firmly fixed in the ground, but its branch is in the heaven. And then it gives fruit at all seasons by the command of its, by the permission of its Lord. This is not a physical tree. Everybody knows, even those who have not had much education, that trees only give fruit in their seasons. They do not give fruit at all times. So the allegorical interpretation for us, the esoteric Batini Ismaili Tariqa, is that this tree is a reference to the tree of Imamat. How? That the Imam in his personality, in his human personality, is very much on this earth. He's physically here in a human body, but his essence, his divine spirit, and his divine knowledge touches the spiritual world, the heights of the spiritual world. And he, the Imam, gives the constant fruit of guidance, of farmans, of hidayat, of ishad, guidance to his murids, day and night, winter or summer, all the time. So this is an allegorical reference to the imamah. And it's a very difficult one. And therefore, in our home, we have something like 7-8 English translations. All of them are incorrect. Either they have roots and branch, or roots and branches, or singular root and branches, plural, but never the correct translation. You will only find the correct translation in Ismaili books. So it was very important for us to look at this one. But as you know, there are many others in the Quran. For instance, the one which we recite in our dua, in the first part, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, the true path, the right path. Where is this right path? We now have satellites and the space station, and they can take pictures all over the planet Earth. Nobody has seen such a straight path. The straight path is the shortest path from us to our objective, which is to become asal mevasil, to become fana fillah. And this shortest path is the guidance of the imam of the time. In the same way, there are others: lamp, ladder, rope, rope of Allah. Yes, all of you, hold fast together to the rope of Allah. Has anybody seen a rope hanging from the sky? No. Our scientists have sent out probes as far as Mars. Nobody has seen a rope hanging from the sky. But the Quran says, all of you hold fast firmly to the rope of God. What is this rope of God? That again is the divine guidance in the form of prophets and imams, and the ordinary human beings are asked to obey them absolutely, so that that rope will be able to pull us out of this depth of the physical existence into the heights of the spiritual existence. So a good question to ask at this time is, why does the Quran use so many different allegories? In one place, a holy tree, pure tree. Another place, a straight path. Another place, a ladder. Another place, a rope. The answer is because this one principle of divine guidance, that is the prophet or the imam, is so central to our tariqah and to the existence of religion, that it cannot be explained by one example only. It needs many, many different examples to convey the many, many different dimensions of this one reality. Okay, then another, if you like, you can call it an allegorical as well, because the word lamp and Siraj and Munira, I ask you to look at a few ayats on the word Noor. Now, interestingly, the Quran mentions the word Noor 49 times. 49 times. And I ask you to look at Surah 5, Ayah 15. Surah 5, Ayah 15 Ma'idah, Surah Ma'idah, and in it you have the explanation that God has sent scriptures, where are we? Ayah 15. One minute. Wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. I want to make sure that I get the right chapter open here, because you have here, O people of the scripture, there has come to you our messenger, making clear to you much of what you used to conceal of the scripture, and and forgiving much or overlooking much. And then kad ja'akum minallahi nurun wa kitabun mubin. There has come to you from Allah light and a manifest book. So you see the two things here again, light and a manifest book. So what is this light? This light, the Quran doesn't tell you in this ayah, you have to look for it elsewhere. And this is one of the difficulties of the Holy Quran. One of the difficulties of the Holy Quran is that it is not a sequential book. It's a book of revelation. Therefore, the revelations are scattered. And then throughout history, people have played their own role in the compilation of the Quran, and they have not put them chronologically, or they have messed around with the order of the ayat. So they are not in one place. These 49 references to the word nur are scattered. So one of them is in Surah 33. So if you go to Surah 33, because in the paper which has been sent out, only the last phrase has been given, and I think it's important for us to look at all of them. I will recite it because it's a very important one. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa naziran wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. They are all the wonderful attributes of the Holy Prophet. That God says, O Prophet, we have sent you as a witness, shahid, and a bringer of good tidings, bashir, and a warner, nazir, and as a da'i, a summoner, inviter unto Allah by Allah's permission. And then the final sentence is, and as a lamp that gives light, siraja munira. So this, kad ja'akum minallahi, indeed from Allah has come a light, this 515 is explained in Surah 33, Ayat 46, that this light which God has sent is the Prophet himself. So then after that, I had asked you to look at 932, Surah 9, Tawbah, Ayat number 32. Again, this is a very, very important Ayat. Now you see we've gone from 5 to 33, and now we are going back to Surah 9. And in Surah 9, what do you have? You have the translation there in front of you. They want to extinguish. But the Arabic is really very, very interesting. Yuriduna ayyuthfi'u nurallahi bi'afwahihim. Wa ya'ballahu illa ayyuthima nurahu walau karihal kafirun. They want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. Isn't that interesting? So the lamp, the Siraj al-Munira that the Prophet is described by, in the time of the Prophet, they didn't have electricity like we do now. There were no switches. There were little oil lamps with a wick and a flame. And when it was time to put the light out, all you had to do was to blow. Be afwahihim. This is an onomatopoeic word. You can tell the meaning from the sound of it. Be afwahihim. This is where you are being blowing out. See how wonderful the imagery, the parables and the allegories of the Quran are so consistent. So powerful. So God is saying that there are people who are going to try and blow out the light of Allah with their mouths. It has a deeper meaning. This meaning is also relevant for now and forever, because blowing is also the meaning of blowing. Another meaning of blowing is to speak, because if you hold your hand across your mouth while you're speaking, you will feel the air coming out of your mouth. This is also called blowing. So nowadays, this blowing is done through people criticizing or writing against the Imam or speaking against the light of Imam. But God is not going to allow that, because this is His program. It's a divine program. It is He who has appointed this guide. Nobody else. Human beings have not elected him, like we discussed last time, that in other faiths, they select and elect other human beings do that. They choose one of them to be that leader. The Imam of that time is not like that. He had nas on him by the previous Imam, and the previous Imam by the previous Imam, going back to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and then going back all the way to Adam and beyond. This light cannot be extinguished. It's going to be perfected. He's going to perfect his light. So then the question arises, is God's light to begin with imperfect, and then later on it becomes perfect? The answer is no. It's not to do with the light. The light itself is always perfect because it's God's light. But the perfection is in relationship to how many people recognize that light. So if you take the history of our Imams from Maulana Ali only, Maulana Ali, after Ghadir-e Khum and the physical departure of the Holy Prophet from this planet, he only had 17 loyal murids left with him. But today, there are 15 to 20 million Ismailis who recognize the Imam of the time, and countless millions who know Hazrat Imam as a great, great personality. That is the perfection of life. And there are other meanings, but we will not go into those now, because we still got to look at Surah 24, the famous Surah of Noor, with the ayat of Noor, which is so beloved of the Ismaili Jamaat. This ayat is recited everywhere, isn't it? At the biggest occasions, during the Golden Jubilee, during the Diamond Jubilee, and one sentence of it is immortalized in our Ismaili Center, London Social Hall, in the wonderful calligraphy of Gulji. Allahu Nuru Samawati Walal. So this is Surah Nur, ayah number 35. So if you go to 24, 35, in this one ayat, what do we have? We have Allah's Nur mentioned in the first sentence, Allah's Nur, second sentence, Nurun Allah Nur, twice, and then Allah guides you His light. The word Nur is mentioned 5 times. Of the 49 times the word Nur is mentioned in the Quran, 5 times it is mentioned in this one ayah. And in this ayat, what do we learn? We learn that there is not a single square centimeter anywhere in creation which is empty or devoid of Allah's light. His light is everywhere, everywhere. Even at nighttime, here on planet Earth, Allah's light is everywhere, because this is not your physical light. This is divine light. So this light is what we would call the absolute light. Then Allah Himself says that the example of this light is as though there is a niche in which there is a lamp, Mizbah, Al-Mizbah. You see, now here, the Quran uses the word Mizbah, whereas in 33:46 it had used Siraja Munira, a lamp. And this lamp has a beautiful description, that its glass is like a glittering a star. And it is lit from the blessed olive tree, which is of the neither of the east nor of the west. So again, the concept of universality. The light of Allah is everywhere, universal. It is fed by the oil of the olive tree, which is neither of the east nor of the west. Again, universality. And its light is glowing, burning, even though no fire has touched it. Because if the fire had touched it, then that would be a beginning, and a beginning must always have an end. But this fire is not like that. It has not been touched. It's there. It's eternal. It is Kadim. It has no beginning or no end. And this is light upon light. How can you use the phrase light upon light if this light does not have a body like a lamp? And according to the Ismaili interpretation, this lamp is Nur-e-Mujassam. It is the embodied light. Allah is a universal light, but He Himself has chosen to become the embodied light in order to guide human beings who are the highest of His creation. And look at the phrase Nurun ala Nur. Again, Nurun ala Nurun ala Nur. Where does it begin? Where will it end? It has no beginning, no end. And then in the final sentence, God says, He guides to His light whom He wills. And so if Ismailis are today guided to this light, it is not through our own cleverness. It is a blessing of God. But it's a blessing which should not be taken lightly. It should be taken very responsibly. It should be understood with knowledge. And then it should be acted upon with knowledge. So this is the ayats. And I asked you to look at them in that order, so that you realize that from 5:15 to 33:46 to 9:32 to 24:35, there is a sequence. But you see how they are scattered in the Quran. And if you do not have a teacher of the Quran who can explain this to you, then you cannot come to this conclusion that the light of God is both embodied, is in a body, it is Nurun ala Nur, and it has no beginning and no end. It is eternal, and it is a light to whom Allah guides you if you are blessed. Okay. So I've done that section on the Nur. Let's go to the anthropomorphic. Like I said, that we look at some anthropomorphic ayats, because there are many of those in the Quran. The most famous one, which we all know, is in the fourth part of our dua, Surah 48, Ayah 10, Yadullahi fawqaydihim. Yes, the hand which was taking the bayah was the hand of the Holy Prophet. But God Himself, at the time of the revelation of the Quran, He says, this is a hand of God. And similarly, He also talks about Wajhullah. And that's the one which I had asked you to look at, Surah Qasas, which is chapter 28, ayat 88, and do not invoke with Allah another deity, God. There is no deity, la ilaha illallah, and everything will be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed except His face. See? That embodied light cannot be destroyed. That is the only thing that remains in the end. The face of Allah, Wajhullah. Similarly, God speaks about His eyes. He speaks about His janbullah, his side. He talks about His shin. There are so many anthropomorphic verses in the Quran. These cannot be applied to the absolute pure light. These have to be applied to the embodied light, and that's the way Ismaili hujjats and peers have explained throughout their writings. And I had also asked you to look at one more, Surah Hadid, ayat number 57, Surah number 57 and ayat number 3, huwa al-awwalu wa akhiru wa zahiru wal batin wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. He is the first, he is the last. The translation which is on your piece of paper, if I received it, is ascendant and intimate. You see, everybody uses words which they want to, but zahir means manifest, and batin means hidden. And He is powerful over everything, because He is the knower. So here, Awwal, akhir, and batin, nobody can argue about those because nobody is there at the first to check it. Nobody will be there at the last to check it. Hidden is hidden. What about Zahir? How can you talk about Allah being Zahir? The answer for the Ismail is very simple. Allah is manifest in the form of the prophets and the Imams, and he will always be like that. So this again, Awwal, Akhir, Zahir and Batin, this Surah 57 Ayah 3 is a key ayah to understand. So that is our anthropomorphic category. There are names of God everywhere in the Quran, many, many names of God. 99, 1001, you name it, there are so many enumerations of the names of God. What is the Ismaili belief? We have touched on this earlier in the other sessions which I have done, that even in the time of Sharia, even in the time of Sharia, meaning the Dore Satr of not unveiling the inner meanings of the Quran that much, even during that time, what did we find? Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi in the Fatimid times, what did he tell us? That there are two types of names of God. Verbal names, Rahman, Rahim, Adil, Rab, whatever. You can write them 1,000 times on a blackboard or a whiteboard or a type on a computer, and then you can erase them, delete them. And those names will not complain. But he says, then they are the other type of names of God. The second category, which are called living, al-hay, speaking, natika, akila, with intellect, and sharifa, they are honored. So the names of God which are living, and God himself says in the Quran, call me by my beautiful names. Who are his beautiful names? His beautiful names are those prophets and imams whom he has appointed. Asma'ul Husna. So here, the example which I have given is from Surah 3, Ayat 45, that you can see in this ayat that Allah calls Hazrat Isa a word from him, Kalima. Again, the word Kalima, you see. So this, O Mary, indeed Allah gives you good tidings of a word from him, Kalima from Allah, and his name will be the Messiah, Masih, Jesus, the son of Mary, Isa ibn Maryam. So the prophet Jesus is called the word of God or the name of God. Similarly, every single prophet and every single imam is a name of God. And this is the reason why Maulana Hazir Imam, you know, in recent years, he has emphasized to the Jamaat more and more, whenever you have a moment, a split second, remember Allah, remember the Prophet, remember Maula Ali, remember the names of Imams, and remember the name of the present Imam. Why in one sentence, in one breath, are all these equated? Because they are one reality according to the Quran. Then we can go to Surah, the sixth category, in which I asked you to look at two ayats, Surah 2, ayat number 2. And here I want to point out that this translation which you have been given, which has been circulated, is completely wrong. And it is always wrong. I'm afraid it is a very difficult one. So if you go to Surah Baqarah, it starts with Bismillah Rahman Rahim Alif Lam Mim Zalikal Kitab La Rayba Fi. Zalikal Kitab La Rayba Fi. Hudal lil muttaqin. And the translation which has been circulated says, this book, it's not this book. If you have any ordinary Arabic dictionary will tell you that the word zalika means that, not this. In Arabic, the word for this is haza. So, what is the Quran saying? That book in which there is no doubt. And that book is the guidance for the muttaqeen, for the righteous, for the pious people. What is that book? That is the book that God mentions in 5:15. Nur and a manifest book. That is the book that the Holy Prophet mentioned at Ghadir Khum. The book of Allah and his itrat, his successors, his progeny. Because the Quran is a book of words. It doesn't speak itself. It's a book of words. And therefore, if you just read it from page one to the last page, it's quite likely that you may find yourself full of doubt. But when the Imam speaks and guides, there is no doubt whatsoever. It is only certainty. So with that, I had asked you to look at Surah 45, Ayat 29, in which the word Kitabun Yantiku comes. So if you have that in front of you, 45. This our book pronounces against you with truth. Haasa kitabun yantiku alaykum bilhaq. So here, the word is haza. Haza. Can you see haza is the first word? Yes, whereas in Surah 2, Ayah 2, it was zalikal kitab. But the interesting thing about this ayat, haza kitabu, which will speak with truth against you, there is a very important story about this. That when Maulana Ali was reading the Quran with a group of Muslims, and when he came to this ayat, he put this Quran on his head, this written Quran. He put it on his head like this. And then he said, speak, O the Book of Allah. Speak, O the Book of Allah. Speak, O the Book of Allah, three times. This book didn't reply. The speaker, the one who speaks with truth, was Hazrat Ali. And every Imam and every Prophet is that speaker of the truth. Okay, then in the seventh category, which is very important as well, that the Imams and the Prophets are also referred to in the Quran by other words, other names. For instance, the ayat which I gave to you, 3:7, Surah 3, Ali Imran, ayat number 7, the phrase is rasikuna fil ilm, those who are well grounded in knowledge. But you know, there are others in the Quran, like Ahl al-Zikr. In Surah 16, ayat 43, Fasalu ahla zikr in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask the people of zikr that which you do not know. In our dua, we recite Surah 4, Ayah 59, Atiullaha wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. So, ulil amr is one of those phrases. Then there are others, ulul albab, and many others, phrases, right? So in this category, I chose the Surah 3, Ayat number 7, because I need to point out to you the danger of some of these translations. So look, let us look at this Ayat in the last minutes of our talk, that God says that he has sent down to the Prophet Muhammad a book. I would like to have it in front of me. So here we are. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات. That Allah has revealed the book or sent it down to the Prophet. In this book, there are those verses which are very clear. They are the Ummul Kitab, they are the foundation of the book. But there are others which are mutashabi, which are allegorical. Not, they are unspecific. In this translation which has been sent to you, they are allegorical. I would use the word allegorical. And then it goes on to say that those whose hearts have perversity, that they have evil intentions, what do? They try to follow the mutashabihat. Yeah? What they do is that they seek to explain the allegorical verses, and what is their purpose in doing this is to cause dissension, discord, disunity, because they are not supposed to do that. Later on you'll see. And the word interpretation is used, which is good in the paper which has been sent to you, because the word ta'wil appears in this ayah twice, and the correct word is interpretation. So, and no one knows its interpretation, ta'wil, except Allah, and you'll see there's a full stop after Allah. Now, think about this. So Allah has sent the book down to the Prophet, but even the Prophet doesn't know the interpretation of this book. Only Allah knows it. So anybody with a little bit of thinking power will say, then why did Allah take the trouble to send this book to Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Doesn't make sense to put a full stop. And there were no punctuation marks when the Quran was revealed in the beginning anyway. So all Shia and many Sunni scholars say that there should be no full stop after Allah, that the sentence should run, nobody knows its true its interpretation except Allah and the Rasikun fil Ilm. So, you know, people may say, yeah, if it was revealed to the Prophet and the Quran itself tells the Prophet, teach them, recite the revelation and teach them the book and the wisdom, there you are, he had to know the wisdom, the ta'wil, then you cannot leave the Prophet out. But Prophet is one. The word rasikuna is in the plural. So it is not only the Prophet, but the Prophet and his progeny, the Imams. They are the rasikuna fil ilm. And they know the interpretation, the ta'wil of the Holy Quran, because they are appointed by God himself. And at the end of this, there is another phrase, ulul albab, that nobody wa ma yazakkaru illul ulul albab. Ulul albab, the people of understanding or intellect, is also one of the phrases for the prophets and imams. So to conclude now, we have looked at seven categories. And I think you will appreciate now that it isn't just the word imam or a'imma in the Quran. The whole of the Quran, the whole of the Quran is full of the praise of divine light, the embodied divine light. And this is the one of the wisdoms, as I started saying at the beginning, this is one of the wisdoms of the Prophet leaving the book and his progeny together. And this is the wisdom of Allah sending a light and a manifest book. And inshallah, I hope that all of you will become more and more familiar with the treasures and the beauties of the Holy Quran, and that you will understand why ours should be a faith of conviction and not just simply convenience. Ours should be a faith where we should know the meanings of the Quran, and not only the meanings, but the concepts which are behind those meanings. Like Hazrat Imam said in 1967, this is our special blessing. And let us, as his true followers, murids of the Imam of the time, let us be more aware of these things and let us work hard to understand these things. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Now there is some time I have left for questions, and you are welcome to ask.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Shukranallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. So there are few questions in the chat, Rashida Saiba. The first one was, how do we know which translation is correct? Can you recommend a Quran which may have one?
Well, I've already said that if you take that one ayat only of Surah Ibrahim, we have at least 7 or 8 in our home here in English. None of them are correct. None of them are correct. And we have said again and again, there is no one Quran that you can trust. So what is our, you know, next resort? So what is the best solution for us? Is we recommend that you have one Sunni translation like Pikthol or Yusuf Ali, and one Shia translation like Sayyid Mir Ahmad Ali, and you know, and then have an Quran in which there is the transliteration column, in which the Arabic is written in the Roman English, so you can read the Arabic words even if you don't know the Arabic. And that way, you can, to a certain extent, overcome this problem. And this is why we have said to people, just reading the Quran is not going to help you. Read Ismaili literature and then look up the Quranic ayahs which are mentioned in those books. So I, for instance, would recommend that if you have not already looked at it, do look at this book. This book is called Recognition of Imam, and it is a compendium of 3 parts. And I particularly refer you to part 1, which is an explanation of the 12 ayats with the word Imam or A'imma, and the 2nd part, which is an explanation of the 49 times the word Nur comes in the Quran. And that way you can then come to some understanding which is proper.
Subhanallah, thank you. The second question was, why Allah need to talk in allegorical language if he had spoken clearly about the Imam, then there would be so many firqas. There would not be so many firqas.
Look, did you understand when I was talking about the ayat of Nur? Allah guides to his light whom he wills. You know, religious conviction is not something which is your right. It is something which you have to work for through your deeds and through your knowledge and through your practice. Yes, it's not something which God drops into your lap. You know, for some reason, we human beings are so overpowered by the physical world, we give a secondary place to religion. But you know, in Islam, it is not like that. In Islam, there is no dichotomy. So you are supposed to give as much importance to your religion, your spiritual aspect, as you are giving to your material aspect. And in your material aspect, you have to work hard, don't you, in order to achieve anything? The same is the case with religion. Therefore, in religion, all books of revelation, they are all allegorical. They are all allegorical. So that, number one, people will have to work hard, and some will excel, because the principle of the Quran is also meritocratic. The Quran says, you know, sariyu, firru, sabiku, go forward, progress, overtake others. This is also faith, religion. But people will say, no, 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 there can't be religion. It is religion. You have to also compete for your spiritual progress, just like you compete for your physical progress. And that is one of the wisdoms for keeping allegorical verses. Not that the Quran is not specific about imamah, it is very specific as well. But there is also allegorical stuff there so that all of us would realize the need for an imam to give us the inner meaning of those ayats. If all the meanings were clear, nobody would need an imam, right? Nobody would need a guide, a hadi. So that is also one of the reasons why God has kept allegorical verses. And then don't forget, human beings have many, many levels of intellect and understanding, right? And so a book of Revelation also has to appeal to very simple minds as well as to very sophisticated minds. A book of Revelation has to have all these aspects. And then most of all, remember that even though these are allegorical verses, right, they are only conveying one dimension of the divine life. So you need more and more and more, because in the physical language, even if it is something as rich as Arabic, you cannot describe this one reality of God's divine light being on the planet Earth by one allegory. No, not even by 100 allegories. It needs more and more explanation. I hope I have made myself clear about the and then there are other reasons as well, that what the Prophet witnessed in his spiritual journey, it was not possible to explain in physical language. So he had to use allegorical language. Okay, that's another thing. Spiritual realities are subtle, and when you have to give them a dense form like a language, it's a big challenge. Okay, thank you.
He just sent me a follow-up question on what you just said. So are you saying that this allegorical language is clear to some and not to others?
Yes, it can be, definitely. Definitely. Don't you think that our great da'is who have written about the Quran, that they understood that? Yes, of course. Yes. Yes, I am saying that. Otherwise, why would our exoteric brothers and sisters be reading an ayat like Surah 9:32, that Allah will not allow anybody to blow his light out, and still they are saying that there is no such light? I hope you could hear that statement of mine, because there was some problem in the connection.
Yes.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes. Yes, we heard you. Yes.
So I've just given the example of 9:32. To you and me, it is very clear. Nobody can blow the light of Allah out. But there are millions who believe that the light of Allah has been blown out.
Yes, I think this was a good example of how some understand and some don't. Thank you. Next question. Okay. Would you be able to share 12 reference of Imam in Quran, please? Did I understand correctly that one is in negative?
Yes, twice. Two of the ayats talk about the leaders of the disbelievers. Two of the ayats. And the other 10 are all talking about divine guidance in the form of chosen leaders by God. So you will find all these ayahs in the book which I have mentioned, Recognition of Imam, and it is on the Ismaili Literature website. It is on the Mono Reality website.
Thank you. Kamila Sahib, would you share this book on chat with this person or with the group, please? Thank you. Thank you. Next question is, You mentioned Imam of the people. I think the word was Imamul Nas. How does Imam guide the people outside? I believe she's saying outside the Jamaat.
Yes, yes. The Imam guides people outside the Jamaat by the work he does. But this is something which I am going to do in my fifth lecture. So can I ask you to be patient until then? And I will go into more detail at that time.
Thank you. Let's see, do we have any more questions? Yes, there is. What is the understanding of the other Muslim of Zahir in this verse? I believe they are referring to 57:3.
Yes, 57:3. Well, you know, we have to ask them, right? What is their understanding of Zahir? I think in our limited experience, we have learned from some of them that they think that the whole of the creation is God's Zahir. So if you accept that argument, then everything in creation, from, you know, ants and creepy crawlies and everything to the planets and everything, Milky Way, this is all the Zahir of God. Fine, we can take that argument. But in this entire creation, God also tells us in the Quran that human beings are his highest creation. And if amongst the human beings there is one whom God has chosen, then surely this one chosen of God is the best place for him to become Zahir. Which is why Imam himself, Maulana Hazrat Imam himself, has guided the Tariqah boards to instruct the Jamaat that he, the Imam, is the Mazhar of the light of God. The word Mazhar is from the same root as Zahir, Mazhar, manifest. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. This is great. Next question. While we understand the Wajhullah is to be understood as the Imam of the time, who always remains and is the means of the recognition of Allah, how do we understand or explain to others how that same face is there wherever you turn? Okay, I believe he's comparing. Yes, go
right.
Ahead.
Yes, it's a good question. That, you know, the phrase may be used in a different sense elsewhere. That yes, there is a face of Allah wherever you turn. Is like saying Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. I've just said in explanation of that ayat that first sentence means that in the entire creation, there is not a single square centimeter which is devoid of, which is empty of the light of Allah. So wherever you turn, there is the face of God. You know, yes, that is simply another way of saying Allahu Nur Samawati wal Ard.
So there was a two-parted question. So how do we explain this to others? Is any thoughts?
I personally think that you should, when you say to others, first I think we have to find out how much study of the Quran has been done by the ones we are speaking to. How much do they understand the language of the Quran? I don't think that we should be in a hurry to start explaining things until we ourselves have enough knowledge, okay? Because if our knowledge is half-baked, we will not be able to answer the questions of others, yeah? So it's very important first to understand many of what I call the fundamentals of our faith, right? First, the person who asks this question, I would ask you, Can you explain the surahs and the ayats which are in our holy dua? That's the starting point, right? People start arguing and debating with others. I have mentioned this in my earlier sessions about the secondary matters, like our rites and rituals. We should never discuss rites and rituals. Those are very personal. What we should discuss are the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are very clear. From God has come light and a book. And this light cannot be blown out. These are fundamentals, right?
Yes, we agree 100%. The next question is the dimensional divided between physical world and the spiritual world getting thinner because we are in the last cycle and the ilm about the Mola is widely available and we are moving towards the manifestations or oneness? If you understand this question.
No, I didn't understand that question.
Yeah. I think she's asking that because we are in a time where information or the knowledge is widely available and people can, I guess, read, it is due to the last cycle or the cycle we are in.
Yes.
And yes, go ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely. You take the example of our own Ismaili Jamaat, right? Prior to Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah's time, there were 700 years of Imamat in Iran, during which it was the time of Satar. And, our Imams were moving from place to place and the Dais had no rest or peace in which to write anything substantial, like they did in the Fatimid times. So there was like a famine of knowledge. And then Maulana Sultan Shah, by creating the Recreation Society and by establishing the Ismaili Society series publications, and then in this time, from Maulana Sultan Shah's time to Shah Karim's time, a lot of Ismaili literature. Yes, there have been so many indications from Hazar Imam that there is a lot of literature, in a guidance which he gave in 2001 in London. He said that Allama Buzurgwa, Allama Nasiruddin Hunzai's literature should have a wider exposure in the Jamaat. But unfortunately, this guidance was not carried out or not understood by certain people. So yes, there is plenty of literature. That's why we keep telling you every time, go to the IsmailiLiterature.org or go to the monoreality.org. There is a lot of literature now, but we have to work hard to understand it.
Friends, if anyone has a question and like to unmute, we will take one or two questions. You can unmute and ask directly if you like. Only one or two questions, please. If you're not, we can stop here.
My question is a general question on Quran. Often we have heard that the Quran is divided into 30 parts. That's what the Muslims, general body of Muslims, believe. But I also understand, probably Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah has mentioned, that there are actually 40 parts of the Quran. And the 10 parts of the Quran are with the Imam of the time. And when time comes, that will be revealed. Now, I was looking for the references, and I think I came along in the Ginnan Mormon Chetamni, and I think it's verse number 3 and 4 that talks about 40 siparas. and the three siparas. I don't know if you want to elaborate on it now, Rashid Absaiba, but I would like to know if this is valid. I'm presuming it is valid.
Yes, I have also heard before people mention this, but they have actually never given me a reference with a date and a Farman book, etc. I myself have not come across this Farman, but again, you know, the Imam's language is also often allegorical. The Imam's words never have one meaning, okay? They have more than one meaning, and that again is according to the ability and the effort of the murids that they will understand the Imam's farmans, okay? So it is possible, well, it is possible that the Maulana Sultan Shah Alayhi Salam has said that there are 40 paras and 10 are with us. Actually, the whole of the Quran is with the Imam. You know, sure. I would like to give you a very important reference. This is in Surah 13, the final ayah. But you will find it will be mistranslated. So if you go to Surah 13, Ra'd, and it is ayat number 43, okay? And in this ayah, the meaning is that the disbelievers were challenging the Prophet and saying, "You are no messenger of God. You are nothing. You are just an ordinary human being." So Allah says to the Prophet, "Kul, say, Allah is sufficient witness between me," that is the Prophet, "and you," the disbeliever. "And also he who possesses the knowledge of the book." And that final one is, "Waman indahu ilmul kitab." And this is a direct reference to Maulana Ali. So, you know, in Islam, there should always be two witnesses. So the two witnesses here for the Prophet's nubuwwah, for his prophethood, are Allah and the one who has the knowledge of the book, i.e. Maulana Ali. So the Imam has the knowledge of the book. And this, you know, it may be that, you know, keeping the Jamaat of that time in front of him, Mullah mentioned 10 paras. But it's not just 10 paras. Everything in the Quran is already with the Imam in the form of Noor.
That's true.
Okay. I hope I try to answer your question, yeah?
Thank you, Bashir Bhai.
Thank you.
Any other, we can take one more question if anyone has one.
Yali Madad Rashida, how are you?
Shukamala, Malali Madad.
Yasmin, I had a question for you. Is Noor given every minute as well? I know you get it in Bangi. Is the two Noors the same?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Jasmine.
Okay, so when you do Bangi, inshallah, you're blessed with light, right? But also when you do Seva, you're also blessed with light. And yes, are the two lights the same?
light is the same, okay? It is a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding to think that it's only during the ibadat of Isme Azam Parole that one will receive light. Yes, that is your path very fast towards receiving light. Yeah, if you do it properly, according to the guidance of the Imam.
Yes.
But Noor, when you say, Mola, please bless us with your Noor. I understand that when I say Mola, you know, I start by saying, don't I? I start my session by saying, Mola, may your Noor be with the listeners and may your Noor be with the speaker. So what is this Noor? This Noor is the Imam's blessing, that his presence is with us right now, at this very minute, he's with
us.
And
yes,
he is blessing us, you, the listeners, with the blessing of listening, me and anybody who speaks with the blessing of speaking. This is a nur also. Imam's knowledge, batini knowledge, is itself nur. All our practices, all, you know, when we obey the Imam's farmans, do khidmat, whatever type, we are always receiving nur. And this is why Imam says, right, in the Ibadat farmans, that in the end, there will be nothing but nur. And, you know, according to Sayyidina Al-Murad ibn Shirazi, he says that nurun al-aslul wujud. Our guys have written that light is the origin of all existence. And we are going to go back to that light. Yes? But what have we got to do in order to be on this path? Is to keep ourselves pure, keep ourselves farman bardar, keep ourselves pious and righteous and noble in conduct. I.e. follow the guidance of the Imam of the time. We can become nur while we are in this physical body. That is the beauty of the Ismaili faith.
With you, the reason is because as you get older too, like you tend to say, you know what, I don't want so much noise around, because you can feel the blessing of peace and grow. So definitely, I agree with you.
Yeah,
thank
shukran
you.
Allah. Shukran, shukran.
Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful questions, and thank you for joining us this morning. She is coming back on a Zoom session at 10 o'clock Dallas time. Please do join us again on the Zoom, and inshallah, we will have continue lectures from her next Saturday. Thank you very much, Mishina Saiba.
Could I just give another little bit of homework? I would like the people who attend this to look at Surah 25, and there are two ayats in there. Surah 25, criterion, Furqan, and ayat number 7 and ayat number 20. Thank you.
So Surah Furqan, Surah number 25, Ayah 7 and Ayah 20 is for our next week homework.
Yes.
She's letting us go easily this time. Last time we had a lot of homework. Thank you, Rashida Saiba. We appreciate your time and effort. May Mola bless you, and may Mola keep all of us under his nur. Thank you very much. Ya Ali Madad.
Mola Ali Madad.
Ya Ali Madad. Thank you so much.
Malalim
Madad. Malalim Madad, Rasina Pa.